Today, I'll talk to you about how to achieve sustainable prosperity that exceeds or surpasses material prosperity and success based on Psalm number 1. Let's look at the text on the screen. Psalm number 1, 6 verses. Blessed, say blessed. In Hebrew, that means happy, very happy. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel or advice of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Get this sentence. This is the heart of the psalm. Whatever he, the blessed man, does, prospers. Whatever the blessed man does, prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Right away, I want you to notice the contrasting verbs. The last word in verse 3 is prospers. The last word in verse 6 is perish. Those two words describe the wicked and the righteous. The blessed man's prosperity is promised in verse 3, which we just read together. Whatever he, the blessed man, does, prospers for two particular reasons. They are in the text. Because the blessed man listens, say listens, to God's instructions, and because the blessed man follows God's instructions in whatever he does. If we get these two words together, all of us can prosper. They are here in the text, right? Now, wholesome prosperity includes everything, say everything, God does for us, with us, and through us. You want me to repeat that? You want me to say that one more time? Okay. Wholesome prosperity includes everything God does for us, with us, and through us. Actually, if you listen carefully to George sharing last Sunday, that's what he said. I just repeat to you what he said. Okay, so examples of this everything are good health and good looks. Let me see, you are handsome here and good looking. All of you are handsome in your own right. Okay, praise God. Our education, skills, earning capacity, or ability to produce wealth given by God. We just read about it. Our family members who love us, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, in-laws, and outlaws. I added that as a joke. Our friends who care for us. These are the people who are with you, rain or shine, bright or dark. They are not sunshine friends who disappear when darkness kind of covers up your life. Our ministry opportunities. We enjoy doing. Our peace and happiness in Christ. Above all, our salvation and our heavenly home when the time comes for us to graduate up. Material prosperity attracts people, say attracts people, to God or away from God. But wholesome prosperity for our spirit soul, and body will sanctify us or set us apart for God. Let me go back to what I just said. Prosperity, the desire for prosperity, attracts people toward God. That's common. But prosperity, when it is achieved, could turn away people from God. Correct? What happened to Solomon? You remember the story of Solomon? You know, I've been in the ministry since I was 19 years old, Philippines, Singapore, U.S. And I've seen this to be true. Actually, people who are very, very wealthy have no time for God. They are very hard to talk to because they are self-sufficient. That's why it's more difficult to convert a millionaire, non-Christian millionaire, than a poor person. So I repeat what I said. Prosperity, the desire for prosperity, could lead you toward God. Or when you finally succeed, if you aren't careful, could lead you away from God. Right? Okay. Here are pertinent questions about prosperity based on the psalm we just read together. I'll be quick. Just look at them on the screen, please. Who is this prosperous man? Why is he prosperous? What kind of prosperity does he produce? Who is the source behind his prosperity? What can we learn about sustainable prosperity from these six verses? I'll answer these questions as follows. Number one, the profile of the happy man. The profile of the happy man. The screen will stay in the middle. I should say the text will stay in the middle throughout the sharing so we don't go back and forth. Back and forth. What did I say? The profile of the happy man, verses 1 and 2. First of all, his lifestyle. Verse 1. In contrast to the wicked, the sinners, and the mockers who oppose God, the blessed or happy man leads a lifestyle that honors God and his word. Questions regarding the blessed man's lifestyle. Three questions. How does the blessed man walk? How does the blessed man walk? The answer is not in the counsel of the wicked. Not in the counsel of the wicked. Today, the counsel of the wicked can get to us very easily and very quickly through ungodly educators, through ungodly electronic media commentators, through ungodly printed materials, through ungodly movies. If we don't guard our eyes and our ears and our minds against the information used by the wicked to influence our way of life. Here are samples of the counsel of the wicked. These are universally true. Some of these are very old, especially the first one. It's called, in philosophy, hedonism. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Making pleasure the highest good or ultimate purpose of life. That's hedonism. It's very prevalent in Europe and America, elsewhere. Another counsel of the wicked, if it feels good, do it. This is especially true with young people. I'm not saying all young people. Making sensual emotion the guide for what people do. Third one. Oh, I'm playing with the word can. C-A-N. Get all you can. Verb. Can all you get. Verb again. And sit on the can. Noun. Meaning, keep to yourself everything you get. Selfishness. The last one is philosophical. Again, what is right or wrong is up to people in a given situation. Meaning there are no moral absolutes in philosophy called situational ethics. The point is, the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Second question, where does the blessed man stand? Not in the way of sinners, we're told. Not in the way of sinners. The way of sinners implies immoral and unethical grounds where sinners stand. But the blessed man stands firmly on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, and in the sure word of God, the Bible. Third question. Where does the blessed man sit? Not in the seat of mockers. The seat of mockers represents a place of influence where they mock God, where they mock the word of God, where they mock the church, where they mock the people of God. Now, the seat of mockers could be a university classroom where agnostic and atheistic professors mock God and mock the word of God. I was exposed to this kind of people in graduate school, secular graduate school. The seat of mockers could be the Supreme Court and Congress when they pass laws that violate God's moral code, like same-sex marriage, like abortion for convenience. To remain blessed and happy, don't sit on the seat of anybody who mocks God and His word, meaning don't support the counsel or the agenda of the mockers who mock God. Instead, stand up. Stand up for Christ in any situation where your God and your faith is mocked. Second point about this blessed man, his spiritual discipline, still in verse 2. Spiritual discipline for prosperity and success involves two things, delighting and meditating in the law of the Lord. Like slowly masticating a piece of steak that you really like to eat. I like to eat now what my wife bought from Costco, the white fish. Not tilapia, I don't know what. White fish, anyway, white fish. When I really savor what I'm eating, I chew it slowly. Like, for example, you know, fasting time is almost over. Although I'm trying to keep my slim tummy, I like ice cream. When I go to Habit, you know, I finish up the menu or meal with ice cream. How do you eat ice cream? Hop! No. You just taste it slowly, smooth on your tongue. Right? What do they call that? Meditation. That's what the cow does when the cow masticates grass slowly. Spiritual discipline for prosperity and success involves two things. Delighting and meditating in the word of God. Slowly masticating delightful food you are eating. Now, in the Tagalog service today, I mentioned this. I asked a question actually. How many of you read your Bible every day? Okay, now this is a big group of people. How many of you actually read your Bible every day? Let me change the question. How many of you eat three times a day? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All of us. But how come there are Christians who only eat on Sunday morning if they are present to hear the sermon? Or when they go to the life group to hear the discussion of the sermon? Two times. They never open their Bible. To them, it's a chore. It's boring. They get nothing out of it, they say. The Bibles are just gathering dust in the living room. Did you know that we're told that the average American home has 5 copies of the Bible, but they never read the Bible? So here, spiritual discipline involves two things, delighting and meditating in the law of the Lord. Now, the law of the Lord refers to, in this particular verse, the first book of Moses, called the Pentateuch, which represents godly instructions for godly living, summarized in the Ten Commandments. I want you to see this. Just the first 5 books of Moses were enough at that time to make a person prosper. We have the whole Revelation now. We have the complete books of the Old Testament and the complete books of the New Testament. The whole canon now is complete. If the first 5 books of Moses alone can make a person prosperous, what more the entire Bible? If we read it. If we read it. Why is it so quiet here? Hallelujah. Okay. God promised Joshua success and prosperity by obeying the book of the law. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8. God said to Joshua, who was succeeding Moses, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey. Not just study, obey. All, not some of it, all the law my servant Moses gave you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be what? In what? See? That you may be successful wherever you go. He was preparing the Israelites to go through the wilderness to the promised land, wherever you go. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do some of it. No, to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They are very selective. They just read certain portions of the Bible. They say, oh, it is boring to read the book of Numbers. It is boring to read the book of Jonah. I already know about Jonah. He got drowned. No. The Word of God is alive. You may be surprised. You can read the same chapter, the same verse, over and over. I've been reading the Bible since I was 16. I'm 79, 8. I'm still reading it. I'm still reading it. So, I follow the daily Bible reading guide I gave you. What I asked you to do, I do. If I asked you to go through the daily Bible reading guide, I must be the one to do it in private because God knows what I'm doing. I have no right to ask you or even somewhat require you to go through the Bible book by book from Genesis to Revelation if I'm not doing it. You see, I can rationalize and say, hey, I know the Bible like I know the back of my hand. I've been doing this, reading this, studying this all my life. That's not the point. Supposing you say, hey, I don't care about rice. I don't care about bangus. I don't care about tilapia. I don't care about vegetables. I've been eating that all my life. You see the analogy there? Okay. So, spiritual discipline for prosperity and success is not merely confessing and claiming your blessing, which was popular for a while. It's waning now in popularity, the name it and claim it teaching. It is feeding yourself with the Word of God and obeying God's Word as your daily discipline. Okay, here is an observation. It has been pointed out that this name it and claim it teaching made the teachers wealthy, but not necessarily the people listening to them. What's the lifestyle of the people who propagated this teaching called the prosperity gospel? They were very, very wealthy people. What about the average person following their teaching? Are they all wealthy? No. No, they are not. So it's getting wealthy. It is the teacher. It's the evangelist. It's the seller of tapes. You know why? Because the common tao or the common person doesn't know how to apply the teaching. Or it's very simplistic. They keep on parroting, confessing what they want. They are not doing about the confessing. They don't get it. They don't get it. Right? Let's look at the prosperous men. The happy men and the prosperous men are the same men. Okay? In verse 3, you look at the text on the screen. Like a tree planted by the streams of water, in grammar is called simile. A figure of speech that describes the prosperous man. A simile and a metaphor are related, but they are not actually the same. Okay? In a metaphor, the meaning is implied, right? Here is a comparison. So, like a tree planted by the streams of water is a simile or figure of speech that describes a prosperous man. Let's look at some things about the prosperous man, four of them. Number one, the prosperous man is alive. Say alive. The prosperous man is alive like a living tree, not a dead tree. Now, before you can prosper spiritually, you must be alive in Christ first. There is no if or but about it. Sustainable prosperity begins by receiving Christ and committing yourself to Him as your Savior and your Lord. Number two, the prosperous man is properly positioned. Say properly positioned. Like a tree planted by the streams of water. The proper position for sustainable prosperity, I repeat, is in Christ. Why? Because He's the giver of living water. Look at what He said in John 7, 37, 38. On the last day, the great day of, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him." See that? Okay. Now, let me take a few seconds, breathe deeply before I say this. Okay. I look there, I look here, I look here, I look here, I look here. Okay. Just in case, I'm not accusing anybody. Just in case you are drying up spiritually, check your position in Christ. Just in case you are drying up, check your position in Christ. Be very sure you are in Christ, not just in Charisma Life Church. I wish the whole of Pomona joins Charisma Life Church. I don't think that will happen, but I wish. But let me be honest with you. Being in Christ and being in Charisma Life Church are two different things. What I'm saying is not everybody in Charisma Life Church is necessarily in Christ. So we want to be doubly sure. Yes, you are most welcome. I rejoice to see every one of you. But I want you to know that just being here is not the issue. The issue is, are you in Christ? Okay? How many of you say I'm in Christ? Okay, thank you. I'm happy to see that. Number three, the prosperous man is industrious. Whatever he does, underline the verb does, whatever he does prospers. Okay? Charlie Brown asked Lucy, how many of you used to read Peanuts? Okay? Where are you, Lucy? Lucy answered, I am busy. Busy? Busy doing nothing. What's the message? You may be properly positioned in Christ, but if you do nothing, don't expect to prosper because God doesn't bless laziness. You may be properly positioned in Christ, but if you do nothing, don't expect to be blessed because God doesn't bless laziness. Amen? Okay. Now, let's go to the word whatever in verse 3. This word whatever is open to abuse if you don't properly exegete it. The word whatever in verse 3 includes whatever activity you do within the bounds of the will of God for you. That is the scope of this whatever. Whatever activity you do within the bounds of God's will for you. Correct? Don't try to do something else that somebody else is doing that's God's will for them. Be sure what you're doing is God's will for you. Okay? Another one, this is the other side of the coin. Whatever, quote-unquote, does not include anything contrary to the will of God. You see, people sometimes are crazy. So I heard an evangelist say this. He was testifying before he went astray. He said, I got tired of my wife. Okay? I saw another woman in the church that I thought would satisfy me more. So I prayed that God would allow me to marry this younger, more beautiful woman. And I answered my prayer. He answered his prayer. He did. He got in trouble. What's that? What's that? That whatever he was praying for was outside the will of God for him. Number four, the prosperous man is productive. Say productive. Productive activity could be mental, it could be spiritual. Illustrations. So there was this new CEO in a big company. 2 weeks he was in his office. For 2 weeks he did nothing except sit in his beautiful chair in his beautiful office looking out the window. 2 weeks. So finally the janitor could not hold it anymore. He said to the new CEO, sir, I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to have you as my new boss. But I notice for 2 weeks now, you do nothing except sit there and look at the outside. And the CEO said, I'm working. I'm working. Very hard, I'm working. Through my mind. You see, work could be mental. Actually, mental work is more difficult than physical work a lot of times. That's why CEOs are paid millions of dollars just to think for the company. So not all work is physical. Actually, physical work is actually menial and low paid. So this activity we're talking about here that's prospered by God could be mental activity or a spiritual activity. Spiritual activity could be praying. You know, every Tuesday when my wife comes home from the small prayer meeting they have with the ladies, she lays flat in the bed. I said, what's wrong, honey? I'm exhausted. What did those ladies do to you? Nothing. I mean, they helped me. I understand what he's saying. When you give out something spiritually, something comes out of you. It's exhausting. Especially if you hear people's problems, they do nothing to you, just listen to them, listen to them. You pray with them. After praying with them, you feel like lying down. Because spiritual work is engaging and exhausting. That's why my wife is very careful with me every Monday. I am most incorrigible on Monday. A lot of pastors quit every Monday. They just recover on Tuesday. Why? Because you get emotionally drained, especially today. For me, it's long day. Tagalog, Saturday, yesterday. Business meeting after this. See? So the point here is whether your work is menial or mental, it can be very taxing. It can be very draining. But it is work. People who don't want to work and are expecting to be blessed are kidding themselves. The law of the kingdom is do something. Because the text says, whatever he does, what can God bless if you are not doing anything? Right? Whatever he does, prospers. Let me give you a quick example of this, whatever he does prospers. Actually, it's written back of your bulletin under the pastor's corner. Just a breeze through the story and history of this church. Modesty aside, Charisma Life Church is a success story. You know, for me to say that as senior pastor may not sound right, but it is true. The statistics show that this church is the largest Filipino-American multi-ethnic Assemblies of God church in America. This church. Okay? And this church has the largest and most expensive facility of any other Filipino church in America. Okay? Why are we saying that? Because we started with 12 people, 10, 12 including my wife and I, 12. And we just grinded our noses to the ground to get this work. And where are we today? Praise God. We are here. Right? So I thank God for a lot of things that happened. For example, I'll just name a few. I thank God for Pastor Boyet. I thank God for allowing me the privilege and the joy to mentor him and raise him up as a top-notch leader. And I thank God for all the staff we have. We have A1 staff here. Pastor Monte, Pastor Allen, Pastor Vega, Pastor Abe. Who else? Did I forget anybody else? Pastor... All of them. I just told you I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning. The sound guys, the projection guys, the singers, the Sunday school teachers. My brother was commenting on this the other day, trying to encourage me, probably, whatever you did, whatever happened here, something has happened for the glory of God. Why am I bringing this up? I just want to illustrate the point, whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. We try to do our best here. Excellence is one of our values statement here. It's no job here. We try our best to do everything just right. Whatever he does prospers. Right? Okay, now let's go to the last point. In contrast to the happy man and the prosperous man is the chaffy man, chaff. Since English is my second language, I have a hard time pronouncing certain words. One of them is this one, chaffy man, verses 4 and 5. Okay, look at the screen. In verse 4, the chaffy man is described as wicked. Wicked. Wicked means unrighteous, ungodly, immoral, corrupt. Those are some of the dictionary meanings of wicked. I checked the theological dictionary, the same thing. A person may be very highly educated, but wicked. A person may be highly educated, but wicked. Like businessman Enron, who failed his business, and politicians who corrupt themselves. Secondly, the chaffy man is empty. Say empty. Empty. He's like husk that is hollow with nothing inside, like the husk of palay or rice. After it is pounded, you know, I grew up in the barrio. Of course, there were granaries there, but because we were poor, we didn't even have money to go to the granary, so we pounded our rice to separate the husk from the kernel of the rice. What happens to the husk after the kernel of the rice is removed? It's empty. It's empty. This is the simile here. Empty. Right? Now, the chaff is just for show because it has no substance. The chaff is just for show because it has no substance. And the chaff may look very impressive from the outside, but he has no weight or value on the inside. It's chaff, right? Now, verse 5. Therefore, the chaff, or chaffy man, is what? Blown away by the wind. Blown away by the wind. What wind? The wind of public opinion? The wind of wrong doctrine? The wind of sensuality and idolatry that blew away King Solomon from his throne to his grave? The wind of adversity, like the wind that knocked down the house of the foolish builder in Christ's parable in Matthew chapter 7. Fourth, The chaffy man has no standing with God. No standing with God. Why? Because he's not right with God. He has no right standing with God. Why? Because his life is not founded in Christ. Why? Listen to this. Because he has no spiritual legs to stand in the presence of God. That's what the text tells us. Right? So, therefore, lastly, the chaffy man will eventually perish, like chaff that is burned by the judgment of God, verse 6. The chaffy man may not perish in this life. Actually, he may have a good life, but he will eventually perish in the next life if he does not repent and give his life to Christ before he dies. This is a reminder to everybody, everywhere. So quickly, let's go for the reflections on this message. First of all, total prosperity is for the whole person. As Apostle Paul said, the whole person. He said in his benediction or prayer, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we call holistic prosperity. Secondly, prosperity is abundant life. Say life. Not just abundant livelihood. I want you to always remember there is a world of difference between life and livelihood. Look at what Jesus said. John 10:10. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life. If you check the context of the whole chapter 10, he's talking about himself. Life is Christ. That they may have life and have it to the full. So, full life is Christ himself in us. You cannot have part of Christ. I'm going to accept Christ, half of him today. Tomorrow I might decide to have the full Christ in me. It doesn't work that way. You either have him or you don't have him. So this life is Christ himself. The great error of a lot of teaching today is they equate this life to a big car, a big boat, a big house, a big savings, a big business, which are all legitimate. But that is not the life that this is talking about. This is about Christ himself. Okay? How do I know that? Did I invent that? Am I introducing to you new theology? No, I am not. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 12:15. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Possessions are livelihood. Differentiate between life and livelihood, my friends. Okay? Thirdly, total prosperity is marked by three things. Righteousness, peace, and joy, as St. Paul said in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do not reverse the order. A lot of people like joy without peace. You can't really have joy without peace. Can you? And a lot of people want peace without righteousness. You cannot have peace without righteousness. So the order must be right. What's the first one? Righteousness. What's the second one? Peace. What's the result? Joy. That's the happy man in Psalm 1, verse 1. Amen. Lastly, to glorify God is the ultimate purpose of our prosperity, as Apostle Paul said in Romans 11:35-36. He said, who was ever given to God that God should repay him? Rhetorical question? None. You cannot obligate God to repay you because he owns everything to begin with. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. If we get this and remember this, my friends, we'll never go wrong. To glorify God is the ultimate purpose of our prosperity, according to St. Paul. To summarize, the blesser of the blessed man is the Lord, the source of the blessed man's prosperity and success. The worth, please write this down, the worth of the blessed man is measured by the quality of his relationship with God more than the quantity of his material wealth. You want me to say that again? The worth, the value, the bottom line of the blessed man is measured by the quality of his relationship with God, not just the quantity of his material wealth. The sustainability of our prosperity depends on our continued partnership with God in whatever we do. Lastly, here's the bottom line. Sustainable, wholesome prosperity and success is a result of our healthy relationship with God and our healthy relationship with people. Please rise as we pray.